The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. People are retarded. And we have a special kind of retard tonight. Radix Vera, I'm a YouTuber woman who's trying hard to outdo other women in the field of stupidity. She is obsessed about me. I mean, I thought she was some kind of law YouTuber because she always speaks about law, but she told me she is not a law YouTuber. She is exclusively a YouTuber who talks about JF. And I can see it. Like, she has on her YouTube channel a video about me a year ago and now a video about me, and there's not much in between. So clearly we have an obsessive woman here who believes that I have killed Mama JF. It's amazing how these people, they're stuck in their ways of thinking. The arguments that she has is, well, he's weird. He's acting weird. His behavior indicates guilt in my personal view. I have studied psychopaths, and I can tell you that he is behaving like someone who is guilty. Okay, but this is all your feelings. This is all your impressions. Do you have any facts? Because the police, if they had any fact, believe me, I would be in jail. But they have, to the contrary, facts that are exonerating me. They are very clear, these facts. They separate Mama JF from me by at least one province and by 2 days. And so whatever it is that happened to Mama JF, she was very far from me. Not in a way that I could, slip myself in, hidden somewhere and be there. No, I was home and she was in some other place, and the police knows this. Blanket says, guests can't post the video. Well, you have posted the blog post about Stripe. Odyssey is dropping Stripe and I see it. So yes, it did work. John Drake says, who is this? I missed it. It's someone who somehow, yesterday, I talked about the disappearance of Mama JF on the private show. If you want to see it, there's two ways for you to see it. You can subscribe at the $20 level on Patreon or Subscribestar, or you can become a subscriber to my X account, and I published it as an exclusive X. It is the full story of everything that happened in my fleeing of Prince Edward Island and Quebec. So if you want the full story without little jokes, without little misdirections, because of course when I speak publicly, I have to put some salt and pepper into my stories just to protect sometimes the identity of people involved. But if you'd like to know the full story, including the legal strategies that I've used and how it happened, just go subscribe to my X account and you'll get access to this video under the subs tab. But amazingly, as I was doing this private show, this Radix Verum also published a YouTube video about me. And it was all based on past statements of mine. It's like people are getting these past statements of mine, like when I talk about how to get away with murder. And it's like, you guys are so easy to provoke. Amazing. Like, you guys haven't figured out yet that I'm just an edgy boy who will say anything that pisses you off, who will say anything that makes you think I'm a murderer. I love this shit. I've been doing this stuff since I'm an adult, really, since I'm 18 years old. So I'm not going to stop just because I find myself in a weird situation where Mama JF has disappeared. I'm going to keep being the guy that I am. And the guy that I am is an edgy guy who likes to... And I think there's a function to what I do. I think there's a function to my art. It's that I should not be treated as a murderer, even if I make dark humor around this subject. Even if I give you all these talks about doing the perfect murder. Because if I'm treated as a murderer because of this, it means that there's a bunch of witches out there that are ready to persecute men without evidence. And that is a grave thing. That is what I'm fighting, ultimately. So part of this comedic performance that I've been routine that I've been doing for a year and a half now seeks to highlight precisely people who are stupid, like Radix Verum, and to make them fall for the bait. And Radix Verum is such a sad person. She comes with emotionally based arguments. She says stuff that she even disbelieves. She is in disbelief that I have a beautiful girlfriend. when she got a clip from me and I say, I have a beautiful girlfriend. And she's like, I don't believe that. I'm not believing it until I think that this girlfriend is a product of the imagination of JF. And no, it's like, no, I have a great girlfriend that I really love. So I'm laughing my ass off as I see her her it piece about me, because it's filled with demonstrable falsehoods. Blanket says, JF, did you hear that Odyssey was demonetizing some channels because of Stripe? Yes, that is what I'll be talking about tonight. We'll get to that subject. It's important because this is my main income. And I've always had my doubt that Stripe could maintain its relationship with Odyssey. I was surprised when I learned that Odyssey was choosing Stripe. But back then, there was kind of an opening by Stripe, and they were collaborating with X, and there was some free speech emerging on X. And then they were collaborating with Odyssey. And I was like, okay, maybe, but I don't think it's going to last. Stripe is part of the centrally controlled streams of money, and eventually some credit card is going to put pressure on them. And so I was doubtful of the decision, but Odyssey wanted to go with it. So I thought, okay, well, and eventually with you guys' super chat, it is one of my main stream of income. Super chats given during the show passed through Stripe. Now we learned that Odyssey will be giving it up, and it will be as early as 2 weeks from now. Twitter uses Stripe too. And which makes me think, the whole campaign of Elon against the Griper, was it ordered by Stripe? Because if you think about the timing, it's the exact same timing. While Stripe was pressuring Odyssey, we now know that Stripe was pressuring Odyssey to censor some channels and get some information about people and abandon their moderation to a third-party team. So they were asking that Odyssey doesn't decide what's in violation of the rule anymore. They were asking that a third-party tool, AI-based maybe, would kind of control what you can say on Odyssey. So while this pressure we now know was happening, this is the exact time at which Elon Musk was banning the Groypers. So I'm pretty sure that this is not random. I'm pretty sure that Stripe is at the source of these two events in some form. Now, clearly, Elon Musk has chosen the path of compliance, which is sad. But thankfully, though, Odyssey has chosen the path of revolt. and they are developing an alternative system for super chats that will be blockchain based. The blockchain based system will rely on a Arweave wallet, AR. So AR is also the system that Odyssey is migrating to for the hosting, for blockchain funded hosting of videos. Look, I'm going to stand by the move because I like the idea of developing blockchain super chats. I think it's needed. So when you look at the wallet AR, I have it in front of me. You can immediately buy AR from the wallet with a credit card. Now, how long will that be maintained? Because at some point, the flows of money always come from the credit card company, and eventually the credit card company understands, oh, that's how JF makes money. They go through Arweave, they send him super chat, and here's a super chat mentioning Hitler. How do we cut the flow of money to people like JF? And it's always what it is. But at some point, I'm afraid that even a blockchain system like this will get attacked at the level of the ramp in. That being said, I believe it's due to have this kind of blockchain system for passing money, passing up money to creators through super chats. And so let's do it. I hope that Odyssey is successful. Now, it's worrying because how many of the people who send me super chats these days will actually migrate to Arweave, will start a Arweave wallet, will fund it with their credit card. That becomes a complex question. Hopefully, I'm not too hurt by this. But if I'm too hurt and if Odyssey streaming becomes economically unviable, I guess I will have to move to Rumble or something like this. What we learned from the Odyssey post about this is that it all started with Stripe pointing to specific creators, and a couple of users on Odyssey complained to Stripe about other Odyssey users that they didn't like who were using Stripe. They complained about content being in violation of Stripe policy. This prompted Stripe to take a look into many creators on Odyssey and request their demonetization if they did not align with their policy. We understood their angle. It's their choice who they want using their service. It wasn't like they were asking us to kick them off Odyssey either. We observed some mistakes they made with demonetization after the fact, though, and we helped those creators get remonetized with Stripe later. So not clear in this sentence. So they kind of collaborated at the beginning with some degree of demonetization with Stripe. but now Stripe was demanding more. They were demanding KYC information from each users. They were demanding third-party moderation tools to ensure that a third party decides whether a video is kept on Odyssey. So that was against the Odyssey culture of freedom, so they are headed toward transferring to the blockchain. One of the advantages, there will be no fee. They will take no fee. So when you send a super chat on the blockchain of $5, it will be $5 straight into my Arweave wallet. Blanket says, Stripe is asshole. Yes, but you could have written it more properly in English, but yes. Jan sends $100. He says, I am a simple man. Never sell or trade, only hold, except for sending some to JF. Well, thank you, Jan. Thank you for your generous support. Personally, I am in Bitcoin right now, but I'm thinking about selling at 105, 107 maybe. And yes, I've been in and out of the market. But that is because I can pay a lot of attention. I have some time during the day to follow the prices, but it's a totally reasonable thing to just huddle the Bitcoin. That is absolutely fine. Now, I sold at the peaks 2 times in this bull run. I'm back into Bitcoin. I've re-entered at 92,000. It's been a series of successful decisions, this bull run. I'm so happy with my tracking of the market. A blanket says, Jeff, you never seen the viral clip of the Hong Kong man saying, China is asshole. Okay, so you were referring to a meme. I am not aware about this meme. Joe Biden calls out Benjamin Netanyahu for carpet bombing communities. I think this was a punch at the end of Biden's presidency, probably out of frustration for the fact that he's still president and Netanyahu is passing straight over him, having Trump basically negotiate some sort of peace agreement, and Biden decided to reveal the content of a private conversation with Benjamin Netanyahu, in which Benjamin Netanyahu shows carelessness about the humanitarian consequences of his strikes.
When I went to Israel, immediately after their attack on by Hamas, 8 days later, whatever it was, and I told them we were going to help. And I said, but Bibi, I said, you can't be carpet bombing these communities. And he said to me, well, you did it. You carpet bomb, not his exact words, but you carpet bomb Berlin. You dropped a nuclear weapon. You killed thousands of innocent people because you had to in order to win a war. I said, but that's why we came up with the UN.
I love what he just said there. That's why we came up with the UN. Like, oh, out of random, somehow. The U.S., it was okay, but then we came up with the U.N., so now it's not okay. The U.S., again, claiming its legitimacy in his strikes, but then the U.N. comes, and we never did it after the U.N. It's like these people who are guilty, but they say, oh, but I'm sorry.
New deals by which what we do relative to civilians and military.
So he was comparing 21st century war tactics, battle tactics, with World War II.
Well, what he was really doing is he was going after me for saying you can't indiscriminately bomb civilian areas, even if the bad guys are there. Even if the bad guys are there, you can't take out 2, 10, 12, 1,500 people, innocent people, in order to get the one bad guy. And he made a legitimate argument. His perspective said, look, these are the guys that kill my people. These are the guys that are all...
Yeah, we kind of had a president that was giving some more pushback than Trump would onto Netanyahu. Kind of interesting to know that this conversation happened. Trigmamel sends a super chat. He says, this Taiwanese woman is talking about her delusions of purchasing brand new $600,000 USD home with her mother in Taiwan. These homes are for the very wealthy. She and her mother make about $30,000 USD a year between the two of them. It's another high-cost woman again. Yeah, I mean, all women are like this. The question is, do you have the capacity to reason her down into more realistic projects, or do you have the money to address her ridiculous demands? But yeah, that is just a feature of all the women. They don't understand mathematics, so it's very hard for them to make real estate decisions. But the question is, can you tell her, shut up with your $600,000 home? It won't happen. And if she takes it well, then she's still a good candidate. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, if you purchase this Weave crypto on an exchange like Coinbase, if possible, isn't the government currency first put directly in your exchange's wallet before buying the crypto? This, I don't think, would be easy for the credit cards to track the money without exchange's help. I mean, there's always ways to track the money. Anything that will eventually convert in cash will be traceable. But that's not the problem. I don't demand that my super chats be fully private. Anyways, the super chats are displayed publicly. The amount of money is displayed publicly. So there's not big secrets around around how much money comes to me in some form. Now, there is the question of, yes, because you will be using your credit card. Is the exchange allowing you the use of the credit card? Is it an exchange that's rooted in a Western country? Are they accumulating information about you? And could they reveal that information to say, oh, so it's this guy that gave super chats to JF? And definitely that's information that would be in the hand of the exchange. And when you do use, when you open up Arweave and you click on buy Arweave now, it's an exchange that does this. It's, they offer some service where they say, all right, we can take credit card operations. We're going to charge a little fee on each transactions, and we will just send, we just send the money straight to the wallet. But the exchange then has your credit card information and therefore your identity. That being said, there are, because it's the blockchain, it's not perfect privacy, but there are ways to ensure that not too many people know. So first, if you're dealing with an exchange that is trustable, they should not be revealing your financial information publicly. If you're dealing with one that's outside the US, they should not be extortable by US government agents to reveal your info. So there's lots of ways in which this can be built properly. A Shamrock Shake says, what's a good alternative to Coinbase for Canadians? Crypto.com is an alternative that is usable. Bull Bitcoin by Francis. I forget his last name, but Bull Bitcoin, Crypto.com are ways to on and off from the Bitcoin blockchain. End of the line, Joel says, did you hear the Mark Collett mainstream media interview? No, I didn't. Is it a new one or the old one? Because the old one, I remember it, I think. But are you talking about a new one? Wife Her Up says non-aesthetic things. This woman has a realization that her little attitude with nose ring and tattoos was not the right way to go to get ahead in life and find a husband.
I just came to the realization why I'm single.
This is terrible attitude. Just the way you speak, we can know you are not good wife material. You are massive amounts of trouble. Just the this condescending kind of stupid way of speaking. I have just realized because I'm stupid.
Every guy that I'm like, oh yeah, he's attractive. Okay, this is not supposed to be offensive, but I see their wives and they just look like so, like, you know, like, not like this, just like, you know, like, I pretend my tattoos are gone. Dude, I look crazy. Like, that's why guys don't want to wife me up. And I just come to this realization today. See? Or maybe it's because all of them see me eat sushi after I get out of the grocery store in my car with my bare fingers and drink sweet tea.
You have massive attitude problems across all dimensions of your life.
Oh, no. Guys. I thought these men wanted, like, you know, big, strong, tough girls.
Where did you get the idea that some guys are looking for big, strong, tough girls? You're just going to be grabbing men who don't have much choice, who are in average or low in the market. There's no place where anyone is claiming that tough big girls are what men are looking for. Yes, the top is ugly indeed. This whole asymmetric braces here coming only on one side of the shoulder. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I feel like all of them are like super girly, and all these guys are like, yeah, that's my girl. That's just like housewife stuff. And I'm over here like, I own my own business. I'm covered in tattoos. I'm a little spazzy, but that's okay.
No, it is not okay. Way too much trouble. You have chosen the life of a man. Keep it up. You're stuck in it. John Drake says, the nose ring has to go out of style, please. Yeah, there's nothing charming about the nose ring. Oh, this is cold. He said, Mom, leave me. Mother shares how she tragically had to leave her disabled son behind the LA fires. He sadly died in the blaze. Ah! There's kind of a trick in this title and in the picture. There's something deceptive about it. But I was like, oh, that is cold! Cold, cold, cold. Wow. Man, leaving a handicapped son to burn in the Palisades fire. Holy shit. And people think I'm an asshole? I'm never doing this. You're never going to see me. You're never going to see me on the first page of World Star Hip Hop saying, I just had to. Just left a couple of children in the fire. Sorry. It was tragic. No, I mean, these women are dangerous. Now, that being said, the thing that's deceptive about this title is that actually the guy was 32. So this is a picture of him when he was young. But the guy was 32 and he had some plasia, whatever, paralysis or whatever. He was incapacitated, incapable of transporting himself, and she had a broken arm. So, but still, I don't know, broken arm or not. I mean, I'm currently in pain in my arm, but I feel that if there was some fire coming, I would be planning ahead. It seems that she waited for the last minute, and she was trying to stop the fire with a hose, and then eventually she realized that the fire was advancing way too fast. But then she said, she says in her interview, this shows the inability of women to handle urgent situations. She tried to call 911 and was frustrated that there was no one answering. In a full-scale whole city fire, you call 911?
Right.
He said, Mom, leave me. And I no mom can leave the kid. And I've got a broken arm. I couldn't lift him. I couldn't move him.
She drove 400 metres through the smoke to her local fire station for help.
They said, we've got no water. And I said, oh, my God, my son is locked in his room.
While crews closer to sea level had water, in the mountains they were armed only with axes and couldn't stop the flames taking over.
When the fire department brought me back, his cottage was burnt to the ground.
British boy.
Oh, man. We're not supposed to laugh at death, but this is so cold. I've never seen an interview like this because she's not being treated as a murderer. Lendald Guntram says, no firefighting minority lesbians ready to help. Yeah, they didn't have water. The whole system crumbles under so little demand when you think about it. It's quite impressive. It takes very little to overcrowd the system. And for 911, you feel safe that you have 911. But the minute there's just a little too many calls, you don't have 911 anymore. Now what? And so it's always down to, can you survive on your own? That's why I am into some kind of survivalism to an extent. I like to have all of the material that's needed to escape, to hide, to live somewhere, that's necessary at this point. Here we have a trans person who decided to kill an old woman. And we have the visit of the police who find the old woman in the freezer. Let's have a look.
Yeah, there's a person in here. Go get him in handcuffs. Jesus.
I'm so sorry. I was like, I just got a shower. I'm housing right now. She left town for a while.
Where is she? No, she didn't. Where is she?
No, she really did. I swear.
Okay, where is she?
I mean, her car's here.
I know her car's here. She has me house-sitting.
So we can get a better understanding of where Monique is and why she's all of a sudden gone missing.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, that's fine. She's like, I'm just nervous because I think...
I understand you're nervous.
I'm just nervous. So Monique has gone missing.
Yes, but can you please open the door?
Who is this?
The freezer?
Jesus Christ, bro.
You can't tell, dude. She's f***ing bent in half. Here's a person.
And Monique was bent in half in the freezer.
In here. Go get him in handcuffs.
Oh, wow. Probably Monique was looking for a roommate. Took the ultimate risk because when you welcome a roommate and they are mentally troubled, it can end in murder if you have no way to defend. Sharia says, always look in the freezer. Yeah, I find it interesting how the police said, maybe in the freezer. Blanket says, I was wondering, JF, what do you think are the chances Canada becomes a part of the US? Oh, close to no. Even the proponents of this thing, including Kevin O'Leary, are already talking about, oh, well, it's going to be more like an economic alliance. So here's the problem. We are already in an economic alliance. What the fuck is this? Okay, I can understand that there could be extensions of the measures taken. But fundamentally, we are already in a kind of free trade agreement. Within Canada, Mexico, US. I don't know if it's still in operation with Mexico. But I know that every year I file some US paper to say I am Canadian, therefore the money I make is mine. Bye-bye. Because it's crazy. The US collects taxes automatically on everyone. That whenever there's a flow of money that exits the US, they collect like 30 or 50%. It's enormous. And to remove that thing, you need to make the argument that you are under a treaty of free trade. And I fill that paper every year because I don't want the US government to be holding 30% of my income. So what would that alliance be? It's not very clear. But we are already in an alliance. And I have no hope that Canada will get incorporated as an actual state of the US. It would be terrible for you guys to do this because that would mean eternal Democrat administration. I mean, think about it twice before doing it. Tillman says, JF, what is your take on Elon Musk's gamer fraud about being one of the world's best PoE2 player? He's getting called out on X. Well, I don't know that it's a fraud. What I've seen is that there's Asmongold who came out with arguments saying Elon Musk is basically using accounts that are farmed for him, that he pays for. He buys them at high level, so it creates a false impression that he's a talented player. And are we talking about World of Warcraft? Is that what's happening? Because I haven't looked into what the game is precisely. But here's the thing. I watched some of the Asmongold argument about it. They're not very good. I'm not convinced that Asmongold has made a proper demonstration that Elon Musk is a fraud. Because Asmongold watches some of Elon Musk's handling of his character, and Elon Musk moves items one by one between some inventory screen and some other inventory screen. And Asmongold says, oh, look at this. He's moving the items one by one. I don't think that that's enough of a proof for me. I think those are a bad faith argument. Because sometimes you can be very good in a game, but you have your own ways to do things. And especially if you're Elon Musk, you have no time to learn the culture of professional gaming and the best way to do everything. And so I'm not surprised that if an Elon Musk was to reach high levels of whatever, World of Warcraft or anything else, I'm not surprised that he would have his own quirky ways to handle his items. Because you would see the same in someone like me on Dota or Fortnite. When I play these games, I do them, and there are certain things that I just don't know. Like Fortnite, it took me months before I even understood that you have to aim the little round circle to mine material. And people mocked me. People saw me play and they said, oh, look at JF. He doesn't even aim for the rounds. And I'm like, well, I got far within games without knowing some of the basics, because I'm not... When you're an artist, you're not influenceable by the culture. You discover the game in your own way, and that leads to... Even if you reach high levels in it, there are certain things that you will have never heard of and that everyone else does. So, to me, the argument of Asmongold is rejected. Not sufficient. And I'm not saying that Elon Musk doesn't buy accounts. I don't know about this. But I know that Asmongold's demonstration is not sufficient. It's possible that Elon plays these games. Archimedes says, sorry, Elon's mechanics are senile boomer level. PO2 is the ultimate artist game. That's why Elon's bluff got called. POE2. POE2. What is that? Path of Exiles 2. Okay, so it's Path of Exile 2, the game. I don't care, ultimately. I don't care. Archimedes says it's even called the spreadsheet community. Okay. I don't care. I'm like, bring me a better argument. If you want to convince me that Elon buys accounts, and Elon, got pissed and revealed a DM that he had with Asmongold. Now, is it ethical to reveal DMs? I think it's fine, personally. When I engage in DM, I don't expect privacy. I expect that the person I'm speaking to eventually could have interests that are contrary to mine and could expose the private conversation, which is why I whenever I use DMs, I talk as if I was publicly speaking. So there was some misunderstanding around this. Elon didn't hack the DMs of Asmongold. It's not like he revealed a conversation with someone else. Elon revealed a conversation in which he was. That's legitimate in my view. Sometimes you want to go at someone and you recover their DM and you expose them. Now, the DM that was revealed was revealing that Asmongold was saying, let me talk to my editor to see if I can talk about this and we'll see. And so that was a revelation that Asmongold is not his own man, according to the Elon tweet, that Asmongold is listening to some editor. I was almost hearing the echoes in editor. I think it's fine for Elon to have exposed this. Now, Asmongold is playing the victim, saying Elon is retaliating with DMs. Well, it's DMs that you did in front of him. So you accept that he was listening to those DMs. He was in the conversation. So if you don't want these things to be exposed, don't do it. But yeah, so Asmongold, it's so sad, these people who have editors and control controllers, because we had a culture on the internet where people were truly their own product. They were truly independent thinkers, and that was delivering something that a centrally controlled system can never deliver in terms of edginess, in terms of challenging the system. We can't challenge a system. if everyone is in some kind of bed with everyone else. Excellent tips by Psychosomatica. She says, wow, the male dating market is so bad. Date an autistic woman. Wow, none of the girls share any of my interests. Date an autistic woman. I'm so worried about being treated cruelly in some social game. Date an autistic woman. There are no women in STEM. Date an autistic woman. I like this tip. I believe that, yes, autistic women are superior in the domain of being wives. However, it's unsustainable. I said, excellent tips. However, there are 7 times less autistic women than autistic men. And considering the compression phenomena for reproductive age in male versus female, the actual available ratio might be something like 28 to 1. Quite simply, we don't produce enough autistic women. So we have to find the key to producing. Toby says, autistic woman, line up for insemination right now. Yes, if you can put your hands on an autistic wife, do it. Sam Altman is receiving a critique from Elizabeth Warren and Michael Bennett for giving money to Trump. And they're like, hey, we are afraid that the big tech billionaires like you are giving money to Trump and have done so to escape regulation. And it's like, this is also what you guys do. This is the Democrat side. And Sam Altman has a good reply, although I don't necessarily like the guy. He says, funny, they never sent me one of these for contributing to Democrats. It's always a bunch of billionaires trying to buy Congress, whether it's the side of Trump or the side of the others. It's always a bunch of interested millionaires and billionaires trying to veer the nation in their direction. Tillman says, Jeff, you must not have watched the whole video. You're missing a lot of the story. Well, I didn't watch a whole video because I was in front of these arguments and I was like, that's not satisfying. That's not satisfying. And then I was like, there doesn't seem to be headed toward any better argument. Now, if you tell me that you have a knock down argument that would be the strongest in the video, just send me the timestamp. I'll be happy to check it. Real Trad Waifu, published by Ryan Dawson. Okay, people are watching these videos. Is she Chinese? Says Blanket. Well, knowing Ryan Dawson, she's probably Japanese. Ryan Dawson has something for the Japanese. 17-year-old high school basketball star Noah Scurry, who had the highest SAT score in his graduation class, was killed in Philly a day after he dissed his ops in his first ever rap video. And I was saying, now, what do you think happens if we repeat that for 100 years? Oh, people are telling me that the language was definitely not Japanese. Okay, maybe she was Chinese. Maybe Ryan Dawson is enlarging his horizon. So here's a case. The problem is you have higher IQ people in the black population. I'm not saying he was super intelligent. I mean, he had the highest SAT score of his graduation class. But what was his graduation class, I don't know. So maybe he wasn't super intelligent, but it doesn't matter. There's a mechanism by which the black community rejects its own most intelligent people. and this guy was starting to do some rap, and he was maybe a little too clever with the rhymes. He dissed some other black people, and he ends up dead. So that's a mechanism by which you have a constant reduction of IQ across generations that still goes on today. There is an anti-intelligence culture in the black community, which is a problem. Sometimes you have young kids, I've seen it in videos, who do something smart, and they get punished by their mother for doing so. Like they get yelled at, and who do you think you are? And so not a culture that favors the extension of intelligence. Nick Fuentes was banned from Red Note. There was a big meme around Red Note because people getting banned from other platforms and TikTok getting banned from the US, people started saying, maybe we'll have more freedom in the Chinese communist-controlled Red Note. I could see this failing, so I didn't get into this meme. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to move all of my streaming to Red Note. But some people got into the meme, and we started having basically Chinese people making Nazi salutes and making pro-white arguments. It was a magical moment because there were now white nationalists and right-wingers starting Red Note accounts, and you had the Chinese people saying, hey, okay, so that's what's hot right now, so let's make an argument. And so you had these Chinese women and Chinese men just making right-wing arguments and white nationalist arguments, but apparently not even understanding English, maybe, or they had certainly a heavy accent in trying to imitate the white nationalists that were joining Red Note. But we see that Red Note is not the solution to free speech. Who would have thought a communist-controlled website has just banned Red Note, banned Nick Fuentes? He didn't even post anything. Just connected, named himself Nick J. Fuentes, and was immediately banned after having accumulated 6,000 followers. Coinbase is to be avoided at all costs. Coinbase is taking people's money. Here we have a guy, he says, can you tell my fiance that we can't get married at the venue we picked because of Coinbase? Coinbase refused to let me withdraw my deposit, won't let me access my funds for another 2 months. I've had the same bank account since I first got into crypto with Coinbase. It's the same account that payroll would direct deposit my paychecks when I worked at Coinbase. Please explain to me how blocking access to my account for 2 months is protecting me, because I can't get any support information or support from your support team. Coinbase takes a number of steps to keep your account safe, and we actively monitor for unusual activity and scams that may affect our customers. Based on this monitoring, we are concerned you may have sent or are trying to send crypto to a fraudulent person or platform. Out of an abundance of caution and to protect you against potential loss, we have temporarily limited your ability to send additional crypto until March 18, 2025. Don't keep any sort of crypto for any more than 10 minutes on these exchanges. You have to withdraw it right away. In fact, you don't do massive transactions. You withdraw a little bit. You check that they're doing it for real. You then withdraw a little more. You then buy a little more, withdraw it, buy a little more, withdraw it in chunks. You just don't trust an exchange for a full amount of your money. That's critical. Something like your wedding or whatever it is that you want to do with the money. Unconventional wisdom says these places always plan to steal people's money. Exactly. It's so sad because basically they're making the play of these places is to make it hard for you to withdraw, because the only way in which they truly accumulate funds is by people forgetting them in their account and leaving them there and not asking anything about it. And that is a very dirty way to make money. And if you start seeing too many people withdrawing, their reaction is, oh, well, there's too many people withdrawing. Let's slow it down. Let's find a way to slow it down. Well, let's create this 2-month safety campaign, keeping people's money. So if you're not on the blockchain in a decentralized way with your own custody of the keys, you don't have this money. This money is being held by someone else, and it depends on their will if you will get access to it. Ty Rogerson says, we have detached your penis so you won't catch it in your zipper for your own good, sir. That might be a message we get at some point. For now, it's parody, thankfully. But there may be a dark future for humanity in which you actually receive this email. Keemstar says, bro, you're trying to censor me, Elon Musk? Well, it seems that Keemstar, your video file could not be processed. So he was trying to upload a video about Esmond Gold. Also, there's been a lot of uncertainty. There are blue check marks that disappear. Okay. We have Esmond Gold. This blue check mark disappeared for a while. But there is uncertainty about, is it these people changing their bio to make it look like they're being oppressed by Elon Musk? Or is it Elon Musk just being childish and disabling blue check marks to create fear in the people who talk about him? I don't know. I have the impression that some of the blue check marks disappearance that we've seen are false alert, and that many of them were actually people just changing their profile bio, and therefore when you change your profile, you have a 2 or 3 day period during which you don't have a blue check mark. We now know that the blue check mark has came back to Esmond Gold. So was it Elon being childish? Certainly there are some of the gripers who were taken away their check mark, and that was definitely Elon. But I don't know that it's always Elon. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, I've been listening to Scott Adams lately. He's smart on some issues, but he recently said that the idea that Jews are working together is a conspiracy theory, but he always talks about how China is out to get us. It's just the way every boomer thinks. Yeah, and it's too sad because if you've been in universities, you know very well that the Jews do work together. I mean, you just have to reach some high-level graduate courses in universities, and you will see that departments are filled with Jewish professors who hire Jewish postdocs and Jewish PhD students. And, you know, to an extent, it's expected, but there's something particular. The Jews are doing it harder than anyone else. And so, yes, there is ethnic preference, and yes, they work together. Now, that doesn't mean that all the Jews meet up and they all coordinate in active, explicit conspiracy to take over the world. But there's definitely parties, there's definitely meetings, and there's networking happening, and just mix networking, parties, invitations, and preference, and ethnic preference in various employment and admission strategies. And just add ethnic preference to the peer review system, and you have basically your conspiracy. No, it's not a conspiracy in which there's a round table in which every Jew appears, but it's a conspiracy still. It's a conspiracy of coordination. Bamzal says, today my province used the emergency alert notification system to tell me it was cold outside. Really, they did? I only got tests from this alert system. So you got a real one saying it's cold outside? For me, it's always been, we are testing the emergency system, blah, blah, blah. Rodilicid says, this reminds me of how easy it is to pirate movies compared to regular streaming companies with better quality video / audio on ripped videos. How is it I can get an Axo movie with better compression than on Netflix 4K videos? That is absolutely true. And it's like, people want the file. I don't want to be on a owned platform where it's like it can be withdrawn from me at any time. I'm sure there would be a market for just good files. If I could just pay and get the freaking file and do what I want with it. But they have built these whole platforms and you have to log in and you have to enable the video for 24 hours and then you're going to lose it. It's like piracy has truly outdone the commerce here. And that's been happening since the Napster days. We have a lack in logic here. In this clip, Joe Rogan theorizes that the mark of a collapsing society is when people start blaming things on the Jews. Why would people always choose this group? Why do they not blame other foreigners, the gods or aliens? Why would they specifically always choose this group? Yeah, it's so sad to see a Joe Rogan incapable of moving through this question by asking him, okay, rationally, can we look into to what extent is something caused by a group? To what extent is, name any feature of your society, to what extent is the banking sector influenced by the Inuit? To what extent is the media controlled by Native Americans? See, you can disconnect from the Jewish question for a moment, and there are ways in which these questions make sense. And the answer is no. No, the Native Americans do not control the media. And so you have to set up standards of evidence. What are we going to consider to be an oversized influence? Let's say there's 50% of the population that's male, and we look into male guests. We can look into how many male producers there are of these shows, and we'll get to a count. And if it's roughly around 50%, then we can say that the influence of men and females are balanced onto the media. But we can ask these questions about Jews too. And you can't be positioning yourself in all positions of power and influence in the way the Jews did, then escape any responsibility for the state of society that it created. So you can either have power or you don't. If you have power, you have to endorse the consequences of your action. If you have these positions of importance and influence, it comes with a responsibility. The responsibility is that if you fuck up, it's going to be your fault. Blanket says, to learn who rules over you, learn who you're not allowed to criticize. Yes. Bill Gates is impressed and excited after meeting with Trump. He showed a lot of interest in the issues I brought up. I have the impression we're headed toward a terrible, terrible Trump presidency. He's kneeling to too many sets of interests, like Bill Gates. Bill Gates should be the enemy of someone who is on the right. He is the perfect example of someone who fully sides with globalist goals and medical fascism and vaccine fascism. He is a man to be avoided. If Bill Gates is smiling and happy, it's a bad news. It should be interpreted as a bad news. I don't like the turn that Mike Cernovich is taking these last few weeks. He's kind of trying to side with the regime or whatever against the Anons. And that sucks. The Anons are an important piece of the ecosystem of the internet. Anonymity is guaranteeing that there can be no punishment if it's well done and if it works. It protects people from punishment for their free speech. And the fact that there's a mass of people that are anonymous on the internet in trafficked enough websites, that allows us to make sure that we don't have a kind of ivory tower of elites developing a parallel view that is too distant from what the mass of the regular people experience. And there are many times in which 4chan brought issues to the forefront of society because it allows anonymity. There were various subjects that would have never been touched by the media if it wasn't that we have an anonymous media branch, and through 4chan and through other websites, we have the ability to discuss what's on the mind of the everyday people. But Mike Cernovich keeps making these arguments against Anons. Someone was saying, message to Con Inc. A lot of these young men, Anons, are creatives alienated from creative industries. Think about the memes that helped win us the election. Do you think they're boomers making the majority of these memes? No, they are creative, passionate, intelligent young men. That is a very decent position, but Cernovich criticizes it. No, they are boring. They don't post art, culture, book, reviews. They don't hike. They don't lift or fight. They are frustrated word cells who live one-dimensional lives and have no depth or character or even constructive hobbies. That is not my experience at all. Anonymous contributors to X and to other platforms, I see them do these healthy things. Some of them, they have their pet peeves and they like nutrition and gym bros, and there's all sorts of people that are Anons and that contribute creatively. This view is really the Jordan Peterson view of these troll demons. And I don't know why Mike Cernovich would side with this. Mike Cernovich has been sometimes missing. As we were saying, I believe I was discussing this with my girlfriend not so long ago, but he's kind of, half of the time he's right and he's straight onto it, and half of the time he's on the wrong position. Anyways, what do we have? Oh yeah, the Asians are now normalizing race realism.
When you try to standardize across a human system of variable actors, some will flourish, most will fail. Because that conversation is exactly the hodgepodge, melting pot that America is. We're trying to standardize policies, laws, right, across a variable system of tribes in which these tribes are so different from each other that you cannot standardize a policy, right? If you try to standardize everyone is required in America to eat pork, you're going to offend a lot of people.
Yeah, and if you try to impose a minimum performance at school, you are demanding either that everyone lowers their performance to the lower common denominator, or you are demanding to people who are incapable of reaching your too high of a standard. So it makes no sense, but that is the essence of a diversified society. Standards have never brought anything. Standards have always just brought obstacles in people reaching their full potential. Because standards, by definition, are centralized and unfit to a variable population. Rodilacid says, I would be for that. We must all eat pork at least once a week or else jail. Oh yeah, there was in the far right protest in France, there were times where they were serving bacon, I believe, at entry. I found this an intelligent strategy. They were serving bacon at the entrance to make sure that you can eat bacon so that you're not, you have proven that you're not Muslim. That was interesting. Interesting of a strategy. Forced pork consumption. Here we have a guy who helps a woman and a man, and the woman is kind of disrespectful, but you can see that the husband is tired of his wife.
I was helping out. I was coming to help out.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no problem, man.
But why is this for?
Just get a broom. Quit trying to be the police. Just go get a broom.
Oh. The man tells his wife, quit trying to be the police. Just get a broom. And the moto guy, oh, that's a nice moment between men. Sorry about the screaming, guys.
Screaming, guys.
That's okay, man.
Thank God they make vodka. Oh, well, that's a tired man.
I think that's good, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem, man.
My wife,
it's okay, man. Have
all
a good
right.
one.
Be safe, man.
Thank you.
All right, there are these moments between men sometimes. Males are more concerned with abstract rules than females are. Boys have developed complex group games and carry on debates about rules at an abstract level. In contrast, girls play less complex games, and if there is a dispute, the game ends abruptly and without resolution. So see, there is this behavior in young children that we see, young boys. They will have all sorts of rules like, oh yeah, I'm countering this with this rule. And oh no, you can't do that because there's this rule. And it seems that women do not have the ability to develop this as early. So I was saying, this is why society must impose marriage obligations onto women. It can't come from inside of them. Their brains simply cannot process commitment or contract. And there was a pissed off woman coming after me. What the hell are you supposed? What are you basing this opinion on? I think it's pretty clear. I'm quote tweeting this study. I'm saying girls develop the cognition of rule making. Not as much as boys do. What is marriage? It's a set of rules. You can talk of it as a game. You can talk of it as a social device, as a set of etiquettes and rules and little ways of doing. No matter how you call it, it's definitely related to the ability of the brain to conceive of rules. Because marriage is a ruling. Once you are married, you are married. Ty Rogerson says, she posts under your source citation. Yeah. And that's what it is to argue with women. I was like, my quote is the post that I'm quoting, as well as years of experience realizing that women are empty vessels with dysfunctional connections inside. And then they started harassing me about, oh, well, you are so angry against women. I suggest that you become less angry, and that way you will be able to find a quality woman. And when they reach that point, I know first that they are arguing based on emotion. Second, that they don't know me because I have a wonderful woman in my life. So I don't even use the argument. At this point, I just abandon the conversation because I know that they know so little about what they're talking about that I consider that I won the debate. Ty Rogerson, oh no, this one I already read. Sky Captain says, everyone sees Interstellar. This will be our last tweet tonight. Everyone sees Interstellar as the epitome of space travel mythology and an inspiration for the cause of space travel. But it basically required black hole magic and literally the power of love just to colonize one shitty planet. And I don't know that a planet has been colonized. They have at the end, they have a cylinder just flying in space. close to Saturn or something, and it's they have one vessel, they have one big cylinder in which humanity lives. Now they do go to explore a planet, but they don't even get to colonize it. But it's true, there is a little too much magic to my taste in Interstellar. They tried to make that magic scientific, like, oh yeah, well, they're hyper-dimensional beings living in the black hole so they can control the universe. And they're not really hyper-dimensional beings. Actually, they're humans of the future that came back to help themselves. Okay, it's a little pushed. Black hole magic, controlling the universe from a black hole through a tesseract that you control with your finger. That is a little too much magic. Stone Dust Bear says, rules are gay, JF. According to the rules now, you can't kick the Indians out. The only rule is the rule of power, which women lack, which is why they don't bother playing into gay debates. I can understand what you mean there. Rules often come in our society as the rules, the feminine rules of woman, made by woman and unfit to handle the problems of society. I understand that you may hate rules, but I believe that rules are integral, proper rules, the ones that you shouldn't hate, are integral to male cognition. I believe that you and I, Stone Dust Bear, if we were at a bar or at a barbecue and we're interacting, I could list to you all of the rules of conversation that you are respecting and that I am respecting. And I believe that there is much more strict rule following in men interacting. There is respect for the other male's, sex reproductive partner. There is respect for all sorts of dimensions where men will take as an insult if you say something about this or about that. And ultimately, there is a decorum between male interactions that has much more rules than the decorum between female interactions. That would be my belief. I do believe that you can't give up all rules because it just so happens that in our society, the rules are stupid. Yes, they are. But that's not, it's not a problem that there are rules. It's a problem that they're stupid. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Thank you for being here. And what is on the schedule in the coming days? We are entering the weekend. I'll have a show probably tomorrow. I'll have my usual Sunday vacation, and then I'll be back on Monday. Much love, sleep well. Rodilacid says, hey JF, have you ever watched other people's videos explaining Tenet? There's one good theory that says the son of the woman is actually the same person as Neil, the assistant guy to the black protagonist. Bro, have you watched my video about Tenet? Because that is my theory. By the way, what is the name of the boy? Maximilian. What is the name of Neil? Neil. Neil, what is it? N-E-I-L. Revert it. What do you get? L-I-E-N. What do you get if you complete the name? Maximilian. Neil. Is inverted Maximilian.